Today, the state confirmed 17 cases of COVID-19 in the correctional system, including 3 inmates and 4 correctional officers. Advocates have been warning that detention facilities are especially vulnerable to outbreaks of contagious illnesses. They are pushing for some inmates to be released early to prevent a widespread outbreak, which, as WYPR's Rachel Bay reports, could strain an already overburdened healthcare system.
Kara Hudson's husband has been in the Harford County Detention Center for a few months while awaiting trial on multiple charges. Hudson is worried that her husband, who has asthma, is at greater risk of getting COVID-19 in the jail than he would be at home with her and their 3-year-old.
This is serious. People is really dying from this, and I'm scared. And I'm scared for my husband in there. This is our lives that we're talking about, their lives. They're still people, even though that they're locked up.
Hudson isn't able to visit her husband because the jail, like other corrections facilities around the state, restricted visitors in response to the pandemic. But she talks to him regularly. When he complained of a headache and body aches, she wondered if he could have COVID-19. Inside the jail, inmates have access to bar soap, but no hand sanitizer or surface disinfectants. Hudson says there's not much she can say to comfort her husband.
So we just pray and stuff. I tell him just have faith, just keep his faith, you know. As long as you got your faith, everything will be okay.
Prisons and jails are perfect incubators for the spread of this virus among human populations.
Leonard Rubenstein specializes in epidemiology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health.
People are housed very close together. They may not even have access to soap. They almost certainly don't have access to hand sanitizers. They have congregate meals, and the correction officers have no choice but to have close contact with the inmate.
Last week, Rubenstein helped organize a letter signed by nearly 200 Johns Hopkins faculty urging Governor Larry Hogan to make several changes inside jails and prisons to prevent an outbreak. Rubenstein says one of the best ways to prevent the virus from spreading is to reduce the number of people in detention.
There are other things that can be done, testing people when they go in, using masks by staff, making sure soap is available and hand washing is more accessible to prisoners. But that is not really going to be as effective if the population is large.
To reduce prison and jail populations, the Maryland Office of the Public Defender and several advocacy groups are calling for state and local detention facilities to limit new admissions and to release inmates who are near the ends of their sentences or have health conditions that put them at greater risk. Kelly Casper is the public defender in Harford County.
We're concerned about all of our clients being incarcerated during this period, particularly the ones that aren't violent criminals and the ones being held on rather minor offenses.
She says her office has filed dozens of motions with the county courts to try to get new bail review hearings for people awaiting trial from inside the jail and sentence modifications for people who are immunosuppressed. But Maryland has postponed most court proceedings as a result of the outbreak, and Casper's success has been mixed.
The state's attorneys are objecting to pretty much every single one we file, and the judges are some of the district court judges have been pretty good about bails, but for the most part, the circuit court judges just deny every single one of them.
In Baltimore City, state's attorney Marilyn Mosby has taken a different approach than some of her fellow prosecutors. She announced that her office would stop prosecuting several nonviolent crimes, such as drug possession or trafficking, prostitution, and trespassing. In a letter to Hogan last week, she called for the release of certain inmates, as well as steps that would allow the remaining inmates to spread out inside detention facilities. The letter was also signed by the Maryland Public Defender and several other advocates. At a press conference last week, Hogan was asked about the idea of releasing nonviolent offenders to reduce prison populations.
The last thing we want to do is release people that are now kind of in quarantine out onto the streets. It wouldn't be safe for them. So it's kind of opposite of what we're doing.
That was before the State Department of Public Safety and Correctional Services confirmed its first positive COVID-19 cases on Monday. They have since confirmed 17 cases in Baltimore, Hagerstown, and Jessup. The department declined WYPR's request for an interview in a written statement provided this week after the initial confirmed cases of the virus. Spokesman Mark Vernarelli said releasing inmates is, quote, a very complex issue involving many agencies, the courts, and the federal government. Harford County Sheriff Jeff Gaylor is more direct about his stance on releasing inmates.
So they're coming back out to the street, they reoffend, which further victimizes our society, has a further demand on law enforcement, and ends them back up into the same place where we started. That would be part of my consideration of any effort just to open the doors and say, go free.
He emphasizes that ultimately, decisions about releasing inmates early are up to the courts. But he says the Harford County Detention Center has taken steps to protect both staff and inmates. All staff are screened and having their temperatures taken as they enter, as are new inmates when they are first admitted. New inmates stay in the intake unit, separate from the rest of the population, for 2 weeks. While there, they have their temperature taken up to 3 times a day.
All the housing areas are cleaned 3 times a day, actually by the inmates. Bacterial soaps have been distributed throughout the facility.
Staff also have antibacterial wipes and hand sanitizer.
I know we just had a discussion last week about trying to get every inmate their own bottle of hand sanitizers.
Mark Fernarelli with the State Corrections Agency says state prisons also have, quote, enhanced cleaning procedures and gave inmates extra soap at no cost. Soap is usually something inmates purchase through their commissary. And he says they are screening staff at every shift. But Oluwadamilola Olanio, a correctional officer at Jessup Correctional Institution, questions whether these actions are enough.
You still have inmates that go to dining rooms and mass. I mean, you can imagine a whole bunch of inmates on the line, you know, in the dining rooms, you know, side by side.
Though he says staff are being screened and having their temperatures taken, the people doing the screening are their supervisors, not medical professionals. He says the department initially provided hand sanitizer to the staff, but when it ran out, they didn't replace it.
So staff now brings their own hand sanitizer.
Rubenstein, the Hopkins epidemiologist, says an outbreak inside a detention facility isn't just bad news for the inmates and staff. Prisons and jails are not entirely closed off to the rest of the community. Staff and lawyers come and go. So do inmates when they are admitted or released.
If we're going to seriously protect the community through social distancing and other measures, you have to consider these institutions as part of the community.
An outbreak could strain the already limited healthcare resources the wider community relies on. If inmates get sick, correctional officers need personal protective equipment like masks that are in short supply. And if inmates or staff need to go to the hospital, they go to the same hospitals as everyone else. I'm Rachel Bay, reporting for 88.1 WYPR.